O beloved Satguru, come and meet me. My soul is longing. I don't realize your doing, but you have united me with God. I am full of bad qualities. I have no good qualities. But you yourself took pity on me. When you took pity on me, grace was showered, and I met the beloved Satguru. Nanak says, I will live only if I get Naam, and my body and mind will blossom. O beloved Satguru, come and meet me. My soul is longing. Bhajan of Guru Arjan Dev on page 174.
Jee Satguru Pyare Amilo Menu. Jee Satguru Pyare Amilo Menu. Tarasare hi Guru Pyare Amilo Menu. Jisate Guru Pyare Amilo Menu. Tarasare Jesus. tarasapaya me ramata oi jisata guru sajana milia jisata guru Sajana Milia Ji Satguru Pyare Amilo Menu Ji Satguru Pyare
is on page 252. Sawan, Sawan, Dunia Kendi. The world calls him Sawan. I am his intoxicated one. Very happily, he gave me the gift of immortal kapal. Since I saw Sawan, I have hidden him in my eyes. I have never forgotten the way Sawan smiled. Sawan is beloved. Sawan is beautiful. Sawan is the owner of my heart. He was the radiant form who lives in the eyes. His style was unique. His glory was unique. Still, I have not understood. Every day I cry. Every day I sing. People call me mad. White beard, broad forehead, tying a turban he came. Even the fairies bow down to him, and the moon has come out in the sky. The world searches for him outside, but he has given everyone the slip. Let us all go to Sirsa, Kripal proclaimed. Ajayb also sang, gracious Sawan has caused the drizzle to shower. Come, let us all have the darshan of the radiant form. The world calls him Sawan. I am his intoxicated one. Very happily, he gave me the gift of immortal kapal. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 252.
Sawan, Sawan, Duniya Kendi, Mayor Dima Sitani. Hansida de gya menu kirpal marnishani sawana sawana duniya kendi meyo dimasthani Hansida dehi giya menu kirpal marni shani sawana duniya kendi jada dasawana najriya Palkavicha Lukaya Ajitakna Budhi Sakya Josavana Muskaya Jadada Savana Najariya Palaka vicha lukaya Aje tak na bulahi sakia Jo savana muskaya Savana pyara savana sona Sawana pyara, sawana sona, sawana dilbar jani. Hansida dehi giya menu, kirpal marni shani. Sawana duniya kendi meyo dimasthani Hansida dehi giya menu kirpal marni shani Sawana duniya kendi O siye kanurani chehra Anka vicha samaya Choj nirali shana nirali Aaj samaj na aaya O siye ka nurani chehra Anka vicha samaya Choj nirali shana nirali Aaj samaj na aaya Nitahi rova, nitahi gava Nitahi rova, nitahi gava Lokahina divani Hansida dehi giya menu kirpal marni shani sawana duniya kendi meyo dimasthani Hansida dehi giya menu kirpal marni shani sawana duniya kendi chiti dari choda mahata Pagariban saja aya. Pariyatako nu saj dehi kar diya. Chanaviyam barachadaya. Jiti dari choda mata. Pagariban saja aya. Pariyataka onu saj dehi kar diya. Chanviyam barachadaya. Duniya onu bahar labdi. Duniya onu bahar labdi. Degya ki tej khani. Hansida degya menu. Kirpal marni shani. Sawana sawana duniya kendi. Meyo dimasitani. Hansida hansida degya menu. Kirpal marni shani. Sawana sawana duniya kendi. Cielo niseyo sirsa nucciadie. Kirpal ne hokalaya. Sawande aluneri majimalai, ajaiba nevigaya. Chaloni seyo sirsa nucciadie, kirpal ne hokalaya. Sawande aluneri majimalai, ajaiba nevigaya. Abo sabhi darshan kariye, abo sabhi darshan kariye. O surata nurani, hansida hansida dehi giya menu, kirpal marani shani. Sawana sawana duniya kendi. Meyo dimasitani. Hansida hansida dehi giya menu. Kirpal marni shani. Sawana sawana duniya kendi.
The world calls him Sawan. I am his intoxicated one. Laughing and laughing, he gave me the gift of immortal kapal. I want to begin today by reading a couple of paragraphs from the chapter 4 on Advaitism in Master Kripal's book, The Crown of Life, which we have been reading off and on over the past few months. This is the nature of Brahman. And Master Kripal says, the very idea of finitude implies the existence of the infinite, as does the word unreal of something real, the basis of all intelligence and imagination. Again, we have the overwhelming testimony of scriptural texts, which speak of religious experiences of all seers at all times and in all places. The nature of Brahman cannot be expressed in words. It is the foundation of all that exists. It spreads everywhere, and at the same time is nowhere in relation to anything particular. It is a paradox at once of being and not being, non-being. There are two ways of looking at the problem, the negative way and the positive way. There is God, the incomprehensible absolute, and God who actually creates, works, and is the first cause, and is known variously as the Logos or the Holy Spirit, the Kalma or the Bangi Kadim, the Nad or the Udgit, the Nam or the Shabad. The latter terms indicate the life principle, the word or the power of God that is immanent and vibrates everywhere from the highest to the lowest in the universe. It is both the material and the efficient cause of the world. It is the principle of truth and the spirit of God, God in action, Ekankar. Of this power of God, the Gospels tell us that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. This power of Brahman, Ishvar, or Godhead, is the medium between Brahman and the universe and partakes of the nature of both. But his oneness is not affected by self-expression into many. Eka aham bahusyam. The two exist as reality and appearance, and the difference arises because of the limited insight in man. And more or less, in my view anyway, not that everyone always is able to follow the workings of my mind on these things, but hopefully it isn't that complicated. I want to read a section from The Stranger of Galilee, which hopefully, as I was going to say, continues on from Master Kripal's point there. This is the last couple of pages, three or four pages, of the chapter, Blessed Are the Merciful, which we read a couple of weeks ago, the first part. The part that we read had a lot to do, many comments of the Master's on bringing up children. But, as I say here, the teaching obviously applies to anyone or anything we have power over, not just to children. That is the teaching of mercy. There's a story in the Tractate Ketubot of the Jerusalem Talmud with very interesting implications. This is a quote from the Jerusalem Talmud. The 13 of the 17 years that Rabbi Judah Hanasi lived in forests, he suffered pain in his teeth. In other words, he had a toothache for 13 years. During all those years, there was no case of a woman dying during childbirth or suffering a miscarriage in Israel, the land of Israel. What deed might have brought this on him, this pain in his teeth? Once he passed and saw a calf led to the slaughter. It bowed and said to him, "Master, save me." But he replied, "This is what you were created for." In the end, what merit caused his relief? Once he passed and saw some people about to kill a nest of mice, and he said to them, "Leave them alone. His mercies are over all his works," which is a quote from Psalm 145. That's the whole story. He passed and saw a calf led to the slaughter. It bowed and said, "Master, save me." But he replied, "This is what you were created for." In other words, he might have said, "This is your karma. You were born for this. You obviously earned this fate in some previous manner, so why should I cancel out the law of karma?" But that was what was required of him at that point. He had to show mercy to that calf. We should remember at this point that neither the Jewish nor the Christian tradition is responsible for the negative, non-caring, utilitarian attitude toward the creatures of nature that is held by most of the Western world. The very first chapter of the Bible, in both the Hebrew and Christian versions, commands humanity not to kill animals. The command is repeated at various points throughout the Bible. It's mixed up with many other things, it's true. But still that first chapter command is there, and holy people in all religions have understood it and have assumed that animals also matter to God. Master Kripal applied "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself" to the animal world and asked, "Are these animals not your neighbors?" Here in this story, the Talmud is making the same point. You have power over these forms of life. Mercy is also required for them. When Rabbi Hanasi refused to show mercy to the calf because he thought he should not interfere with its karma, he was also shown no mercy and had to accept karma, 13 years of toothache, which he had earned for other reasons. Later, when he saw people about to kill a nest of mice, a form of life that many people kill without thinking twice, he said, "Leave them alone, his mercies are over all his works." He knew we should have mercy even on mice. They also matter, and they also don't like to suffer or die. By showing mercy to the mice, the karma he had incurred from the previous incident was cancelled. Mercy was shown to him because he had shown it to other creatures. He had opened the gate to allow the mercy to come into him. Moreover, the pain he suffered for not interceding for the calf was excessive. So because he was a holy man, the benefits of his overpayment were applied to other people. That is why no miscarriages or deaths in childbirth occurred during his 13 years of suffering. He was able to suffer for others, but he still had something to learn. This powerful story should remind us that when someone asks for or needs mercy from us, we should not even think the words, "No, you deserve this. Everyone has to undergo his karma. Why should I intervene? This is the way of the world." As Master Kripal said in Delhi in the passage quoted above, and that was in the reading of the previous time, our hearts must bleed for those who are suffering. We have to care. It has to matter to us that people, or any living creatures, are suffering, especially when they come into our personal orbit, our span of attention. If they don't have this effect on us, if our heart doesn't bleed because of their pain, we are closing the door to a channel of grace. A mercy that we need, depend on, and hope for is cut off from us, because in order for it to reach us, we must have that door open. We can think of it this way: the mercy we show to others flows out to them via the same channel through which the mercy from God or others flows into us. Whether we realize it or not, when we block that channel, we close it from both directions. Master Kripal explains these interconnections in his Principles of Bhakti or Devotion in Morning Talk number 21. He tells us what we are doing when we love or worship God, and why our giving and receiving mercy are so important. And Kripal says, "I was just speaking about devotion, real bhakti. The first principle, the basic principle, and I would say the grandest of all, is to know that God is everywhere. We are living in Him and He is in us. We live and have our being in Him like fish in the river. The fish lives in the water. Its whole life depends on water. It lives in water, it lives on water, from whence it gets its food. When God wished, 'I am one,' and wished to be many, the whole universe emanated, came into being. The whole world is an expression, a manifestation of God. Where is that place where he is not? We are in him, he is in us, and is our controlling power. All ensouled bodies are the drops of the ocean of all consciousness. When we know this, all is beautiful. God is beautiful, and any world made by him, manifested by him, is also beautiful. Beauty comes out of beauty, not from ugliness. Anything that appears to be ugly in the world is the result of the spectacles that we are wearing. If the glass of the spectacles is smoky, you will see all smoke. If it is red, everything will appear red. If it is black, everything will appear black. Well, the world is not black, red, or smoky, mind that. So we have to change the trend of our mind, of our heart. Master Kripal is making the point that it is our perspective which determines the nature of the world. If we approach the world from the standpoint of giving mercy wherever it is needed, we will see the world that way. And if we look at the world from that angle of vision, we will give mercy freely and we will receive mercy. And Kripal says, the first principle that we have to abide by is to know that he is everywhere. We are in him and he is in us. When you know this, you will just pay respect to everybody. They are all manifested in the man body. When we know that he is everywhere and that he knows everything of our heart, how can we do anything that is not good or commit a sin? Our master used to say, when a child of 5 years is sitting by you, you will never dare to do anything which is wrong. When you have the viewpoint that he is within me, he is outside me, I am in him, how can you perpetrate anything? Can you? This is the sum and substance, the basic principle. If you abide by it, everything will follow of itself. The world will be beautiful. Beauty comes out of beauty. If the world appears to be ugly or not beautiful, that is the result of the spectacles you are wearing. Now obviously Master knows and has often said that the world can be a very difficult place to live in. We can certainly objectively see things in it that would seem to contradict his words in this morning talk. Yet he is simply asking us to approach the world with the conviction, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall have mercy." If we approach the universe from that perspective, we will bring into it the point of view which is God's, because this is the way God in Sat Khand looks down on the fallen universe. He looks at it with nothing but love. He sees us as embodied souls who want to come home, and he loves us as souls who are his children. He loves us this way because that is how he sees us. He does not see us as mean, petty, unworthy people. We may see ourselves that way, and the negative power certainly sees us like that, but that is not the way the God of love and mercy sees us. If he did, why would he want us? He comes down into this world, subjects himself to its laws, suffers for us, and undergoes infinite humiliation. Why? He wants to take us back to him because we are worthy of it. If we were not of infinite worth to him, why would he bother? It's because we exist that he loves us, and he wants us to be happy. So what he is saying here is, please look at the world the way I do. Please see it the way I see it. It will make my work easier, and it will make life much easier for you. If you relate to other people as I relate to you, if you see the world from my point of view, you will come to know things that you will otherwise never be able to understand. And Master continues, if you will cast out evil thoughts about others, all are friendly. If somebody has played any hell against us, we simply retaliate. We harbor those very thoughts within us. Saints have been coming to the world and the people cry, "Oh God, send us some man to save us." God said, "Well, I have sent you many men to save you, but how have you treated them? They came to give you a right understanding of the whole show, which is that all creation is the manifestation of God, that you are all my children, drops of the ocean of all consciousness, that I am your controlling power. You live in me and I live in you, but you have forgotten." To forget is delusion, or what is called Maya. If you go to somebody whose eye is open, even if you speak ill of him, he still tries to bring you out of the abyss of ignorance. If he gives you something, you should develop it. When you see inside, your whole angle of vision will be changed. Even outside, you will see that it is all the manifestation of God. It is so. And when we meet a master, we begin to see that it is all his manifestation. We have said the Sermon on the Mount, and these blessings in particular, are glimpses of reality. And Master Kripal Singh Ji has just described that reality. Each of the seven Beatitudes can be understood as a glimpse of God's truth, that he is everywhere, that he is in us and outside of us, and that the world is his manifestation and therefore beautiful. By seeing his world as he does, we tend to make it beautiful. If we see beauty, it's there. If we don't see it, then we have prevented it from being there for us. The Master's view is that all children of God are of infinite worth, and therefore we must have mercy on everyone because they are trapped in the fallen universe. But the universe is fallen only as long as we are trapped. Once we escape through Master's grace, it is no longer fallen for us or for anyone who comes under our influence. That is why, if we have mercy on others, we are definitely blessed, and we do receive mercy in return. And the final reading, section from The Impact of a Saint, which features several of Master's letters to me. And this is a section which helps me a lot when things aren't going well, which lately a lot of things in my life, a lot of people in my family and circle of acquaintanceship having a very hard time. And it is depressing. And these letters Master Kripal wrote to me at a time when I was terribly depressed and was having all sorts of difficulties, which I describe. Midway through this period, from the fall of 1967 to the spring of 1968, I became terribly depressed. 9 years after my initiation, I realized that I was not progressing in meditation and had made no appreciable progress in 3 years, which was since my last trip to India, actually my first trip to India, which is also the last one at this point. In fact, to a great extent, I had lost whatever I had once gained. By this time, my responsibilities as a representative of the Master had increased, not only because the ashram and the local sangha were growing, but because I was now authorized to convey the initiation instructions to those persons who had been accepted by the Master. This was a great honor and responsibility. I appreciated the honor but felt the responsibility very keenly. I was attacked by guilt feelings over being an unworthy representative. I was acutely aware of my failings as a disciple and felt like a stinking hypocrite whenever I held satsang. And every time I failed in keeping any of the commandments, it just added fuel to the fire. I managed to work myself into a neurotic mess and almost threw away, again, everything I had been given. But the love, understanding, and patience of my wife Judith and the Master's letters to me combined into a stronger force working in the other direction. I was very frank and open in my letters to him and did not pretend I was feeling differently than I was. And he responded by writing me letters that I still treasure. Here is a paragraph from his letter of December 2, 1966, written before the period of greatest depression, but in response to similar difficulties. Quote, "You need not dwell much on your personal character or impurities of mind. It amounts to self-pity. You will please appreciate that by watering the seedling at the roots, the plant thrives most and blooms in abundance. The holy Nam is the tried panacea for ills of the mind. Although it is a very happy augury to be conscious of one's shortcomings, undue apprehension sometimes breeds morbidity, which hampers inner progress. The conscious contacts of divinity within revolutionizes the thought pattern of the child disciple, and he sees everything in much clearer perception. Slow and steady wins the race. Your job is to be implicitly obedient and humbly dedicated. It is for him to reward you for your efforts. Patience is the noblest virtue, but it is the fruit of very long cultivation. Just learn to live in the living present with undivided attention and devotion. You should train your mind in such a manner that when you do anything required of you, there is no hurry, compulsion, or resentment from your side. You will find that it will be helpful to you in all spheres of life, including meditations. My love and blessings are always with you. This letter has been a constant companion to me over the years, and after Judith succeeded in helping me to change my perspective so that I was open to the Master's words again, it was enormously helpful to me in overcoming my depression. Another similar letter, written to me at a time of great trouble and turmoil, which I was compounding by making one mistake after another, was dated March 10th, 1967. These letters, I have read them a number of times in satsang, and of course they were published in the book, so they're reasonably well known, but I do find that I often have forgotten almost everything that is in them until I reread them. So this is what Master said, "Worry and hurry are the chief causes to dwell on by the mind. If you could just eliminate these two by resigning to the divine will and pleasure of the gracious Master Power working overhead, you will be relieved of the undue strain and stress. Please note it for certain that whatever comes to your account is in your best spiritual interests. And to become a fit receptacle for the divine grace, you have to inculcate a sense of self-abnegation and effacement without involving your mind. The more you are relaxed, reposing, and receptive, the more ineffable bliss and harmony will fall to your lot. Just rise so high in the loving lap of the Master Power to consider yourself as a child who would relish, 'Not my will, but thine be done.' Your deep gratitude for manifold blessings is good and appreciated." And then the following, dated November 24, 1967, written in response to one of the most depressing, despairing, bottom-of-the-sewer letters he probably ever received, a terrified cry for help on my part. Master says, "You need not be skeptic about your restricted inner progress. It appears that you have been prey to undue skepticism on your part, thereby causing your inability to progress more in the holy path. Such like feelings not only hamper inner progress, but create more confusion and retard receptivity. Your job is to be earnestly and honestly devoted to your spiritual practices and leave the results to Him. It appears that you have been deluded in your way by the intrusion of these morbid feelings, which has resulted in a setback. You should forget all about the past and be devoted to your meditations with renewed faith, and you can still have it. Lust and anger are human elements. These can be subdued carefully by right living, as discussed in the books and letters from time to time. If you will care to take stock of things, you will find much scope of gratitude as you have improved considerably in all spheres of your life with the grace of the Master. As regards your working for the holy cause in the capacity as a representative of the Master, you must know it for certain that the gracious Master Power has his immaculate ways of divine dispensation. He can take work from one and all who offer themselves lovingly. If you will inculcate a keen sense of humility by self-abnegation and effacement, you will enjoy more ineffable bliss and harmony. Humility is the sheet anchor with the dear ones. It is an adoration of the saints who work in this physical plane by keeping their divinity hidden from the public gaze. How safe and sublime it is to work humbly on behalf of the Master by rolling all credit onto him. You are a personal testimony to the sacred truth that when you work for the Master for channeling the divine grace, how graciously you are compensated. The golden principle of attributing all success to the Master Power in failure to your own personal weaknesses to be overcome gradually, should be followed lovingly. Ego is a human element. It is annihilated very slowly by meditating on the sound current and light principles. Gradually it will dawn upon you that you are simply a doll in the hands of divine powers dancing to his bid. With the grace of the Master, repeated readings of this letter, renewed applications to meditation, and Judith's loving help ultimately brought me out of my depression, which no one other than Judith and the Master knew anything about, and Master's words quoted above, "Everything is still within you and you can still have it," proved true. And then I go on to describe my second trip to India, which is a whole thing in itself. Okay, you can have the tape.
Shareer vich baithe sant satguru da shakti mahanta da koi sikh andaaja nahi la sakda, kalpana vi nahi kar sakda ki eh ki hai, jad tak andar jaake noori swarup nu pragat nahi kar lenda ga. Kabir sahib ne keha ਕਿ ਜਿਤਨਾ ਚਿਰ ਗੁਰੂ ਨੂੰ ਮੈਂ ਅੰਦਰ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਰੂਪ ਵਿੱਚ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਨਹੀਂ ਕੀਤਾ ਉਤਨਾ ਚਿਰ ਮੈਂ ਗਾਉਂਦਾ ਸੈਂ ਜਦ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਕੀਤੇ ਤਾਂ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਕਿ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਉਪਮਾ ਕਰ ਲੈਣੀ ਅਸੰਭਵ ਹੈ
ਨੋ ਡਿਸਾਈਪਲ ਕੈਨ ਐਵਰ ਐਸਟੀਮੇਟ ਦ ਪਾਵਰ ਵਿਚ ਦ ਸੇਂਟ ਹੈਜ਼ ਅਨਲੈਸ ਦ ਡਿਸਾਈਪਲ ਗੋਜ਼ ਇਨ ਦ ਵਿਦਿਨ and sees him inside, he cannot have any idea that what power the living saint has. Kabir Sahib said that before I went inside and manifested the Shabad Master within myself, I was singing the praises of my Master, but when I went inside and saw his radiant form within myself, then I came to realize that it is impossible to sing the glory of the Master.
ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਬੈਠਾ ਸੰਤ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਜਲ ਦੇ ਜੀਵ ਕੱਛੂ ਦੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਰਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਹ ਆਪਣੀਆਂ ਲੱਤਾਂ ਬਾਹਾਂ ਮੂੰਹ ਵੀ ਆਪਣੇ ਜਿਸਮ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੀ ਸਮੇਟ ਕੇ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਹੈ ਸਿਰਫ ਲੋੜ ਪੈਣ 'ਤੇ ਹੀ ਉਹਦਾ ਸਹਾਰਾ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਉਹ ਤੁਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਨੇ ਕਿਹਾ ਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਤਨਾ ਚਿਰ ਹੀ ਗੁਰੂ ਨੂੰ ਗਾਉਂਦੇ ਸਾਂ ਜਿੰਨਾ ਚਿਕਰ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਦੇਖਿਆ ਨਹੀਂ ਸੀ ਜਦ ਉਹ ਦਿਲ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਹੋ ਗਿਆ ਤਾਂ ਫਿਰ ਗਾਉਣ ਨੂੰ ਕੁਛ ਨਾ ਰਿਹਾ ਮੈਂ ਜੋ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਰੋਜ਼ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਕਰਨ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਸਾਵਨ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਦਾ ਧੰਨਵਾਦ ਕਹਿਣਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਜਵਾਨ ਨਾਲ। ਇਹ ਸਿਰਫ ਦੁਨਿਆਵੀ ਲਫ਼ਜ਼ ਹੈ, ਸੱਚਾ ਧੰਨਵਾਦ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਉਹਦੇ ਨੂਰੀ ਸਰੂਪ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਕਰਕੇ ਹੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਰ ਸਕਦੇ ਹਾਂ।
A living saint is like that creature of water whom we call a turtle. Like the turtle always hides his hands and feet and he takes them out only when he needs to use them to walk or to move. In the same way, a living saint always keeps himself hidden and he never exhibits his power or the strength which he has in himself. So that is why Kabir Sahib says that before I had the inner darshan of the master, I was only singing his praises, I was only singing his glory outside. But when I went inside and I saw him in his real glory, in his true strength, then nothing was left for me to sing, because I could not praise him enough, I could not sing his glory enough. Every day before I start doing the satsang, I always say that I bow down at the feet of Lord Almighty Savan and Kripal. These are the worldly words, but the true gratitude can be expressed, true thanks can be given to the master only by going in the within and seeing the inner radiant form of the master.
ਇਹ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਆਪਣੀ ਹੀ ਦਇਆ ਸੀ। ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਸਾਵਨ ਦਾ ਬਚਪਨੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੀ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਹੋਇਆ, ਛੋਟੀ ਉਮਰ 'ਚ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਪੋਲਾ ਪਾਲਾ ਚਿਹਰਾ, ਸਰਲ ਸਵਾਲ ਚਿਹਰਾ ਜਿਹਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੋਈ ਮਿਲਾਵਟ ਨਹੀਂ ਸੀ, ਉਹ ਨੂਰੀ ਰੂਪ ਐਸਾ ਮੇਰੀ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਮਾਇਆ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਕਿ ਮੇਰੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦਾ ਖੁਰਾਕ ਬਣ ਗਿਆ, ਜਿਹਨੂੰ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਵਿੱਚ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਪਾਸੇ ਨਾ ਕਰ ਸਕਿਆ।
It was his own grace, it was the grace of Baba Savan Singh that I got the opportunity to have his darshan in my childhood. His holy face, his beautiful form, which did not have any other thing in him, just full of love, and his innocent face enchanted so much to me and attracted me so much that not even for a moment I could take that form away from my vision. And that form of Baba Savan Singh had a deep effect on my life. That form, or that darshan of the form of Baba Savan Singh, became the food of my life.
Kabir Sahib de Shabad number 23, Santan di Bani, panna 120.
मानत नहीं मन मोरा साधो, मानत नहीं मन मोरा रे।
कबीर साहब का शब्द है, आप प्यार ना सन छोटे जे शब्द विच थोड़ियां लाइनां दे विच संत मत नूं, गुरु मत नूं, ਇਨਸਾਨੀ ਜਾਮੇ ਨੂੰ ਤਿੱਕੀ ਕੀਮਤ ਹੈ, ਬੜੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਸਮਝਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ।
This is hymn of Kabir Sahib. In this very brief hymn, in the few lines, he explains to us the Sant Mat, the path of the masters, the path of the gurus, and the importance of getting the human body.
ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੋਈ ਐਸੀ ਤਾਕਤ ਨਹੀਂ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਕਿ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਨੇ ਵਸ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਕੀਤੀ, ਇਹਨੇ ਹਾਥੀ ਵਸ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੀਤੇ, ਸ਼ੇਰ, ਚੀਤੇ, ਰਿੱਛ, ਮੁਲਕਾਂ ਦੇ ਕਈ ਮੁਲਕਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਆਪਦੇ ਵਸ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੀਤਾ। ਕਹਿਣ ਦਾ ਭਾਵ ਕਿ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਨੇ ਸਭ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਸਰ ਕਰਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਵੀ ਜਿੱਤ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕੀਤੀ। ਬੜੇ ਬੜੇ ਡਿਕਟੇਟਰ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਏ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਮਨ ਨੂੰ ਅੱਜ ਤੱਕ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਜਿੱਤਿਆ ਨਹੀਂ।
ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਦੇਰ ਇਜ਼ ਨੋ ਪਾਵਰ which is not conquered or is controlled by the human being. He has conquered and controlled the mighty elephant, the tiger, the leopards, the wolves, and many other dangerous wild animals. He has conquered many other powers. He has conquered many countries. And the human being has not left any stone unturned in conquering the whole world. But up until now, no one has been able to conquer the mind.
ਰਿਖੀਆਂ ਮੁਨੀਆਂ ਨੇ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਕਥਾਵਾਂ ਨਾਲ ਪ੍ਰਾਣ ਭਰੇ ਪਏ ਹੈ, ਬੜੀਆਂ ਕੋਸ਼ਿਸ਼ਾਂ ਕੀਤੀਆਂ, ਕੋਈ ਪਹਾੜਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਬਰਫ਼ ਵਿੱਚ ਗਲ ਗਿਆ, ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਭਗਵੇਂ ਕੱਪੜੇ ਤਨ ਤੇ ਪਾਏ, ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਆਪਦੇ ਕੰਨ ਪੜਵਾ ਲਏ ਜੋਗੀ ਬਣ ਗਿਆ, ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਇੱਕ ਅੰਗੂਠੇ ਦੇ ਭਾਰ ਖੜ ਕੇ ਬੜੀ ਭਾਰੀ ਤਪੱਸਿਆ ਸਾਧਨ ਕੀਤੀ, ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਖਾਣਾ ਛੱਡ ਦਿੱਤਾ, ਸਿਰ ਪੌਣਾ ਹਾਰੀ ਤੱਕ ਵੀ ਹੋ ਗਏ। ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜਦ ਮਨ ਦਾ ਦਾ ਚੱਲਿਆ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਹਾਲਤ ਵੀ ਗ੍ਰਿਸਤੀਆਂ ਨਾਲੋਂ ਦੁਨੀਆਦਾਰਾਂ ਨਾਲੋਂ ਪੱਦੀ ਕਰ ਦਿੱਤੀ। ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਇਹ ਬਿਨਾਂ ਸਿਰ ਤੋਂ ਚੋਰ ਹੈ, ਇਸ ਦਾ ਇਹ ਅਜਿੱਤ ਹੈ, ਇਸ ਦਾ ਜਿੱਤਣਾ ਬੜਾ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਲ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਰਿਸ਼ੀਜ਼ ਐਂਡ ਮੁਨੀਜ਼ ਵਿਦ ਹੂਸ ਸਟੋਰੀਜ਼ ਦ ਪੁਰਾਣਾਸ ਆਰ ਫਿਲਡ, ਦੇ ਟ੍ਰਾਈਡ ਦੇਅਰ ਬੈਸਟ ਟੂ ਕੌਂਕਰ ਦ ਮਾਇੰਡ, ਸਮ ਆਫ ਦੈਮ ਲੈਫਟ ਦੇਅਰ ਹੋਮਸ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਵੈਂਟ ਔਨ ਦ ਪੀਕ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਊਂਟਨਸ, ਸਮ ਆਫ ਦੈਮ ਵੈਂਟ ਇਨ ਦ ਕੇਵਸ ਵਿਚ ਵਰ ਮੇਡ ਇਨ ਦ ਮਾਊਂਟਨ, ਸਮ ਆਫ ਦੈਮ ਵੈਂਟ ਇਨ ਦ ਵਿਲਡਰਨੈਸ, ਸਮ ਆਫ ਦੈਮ ਗੋਟ ਦੇਅਰ ਈਅਰ ਪੀਅਰਸਡ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਵੋਰ ਦ ਈਅਰਿੰਗਸ, ਸਮ ਆਫ ਦੈਮ ਸਟੂਡ ਔਨ ਜਸਟ ਵਨ ਥੰਬ ਫਾਰ ਮੈਨੀ ਮੈਨੀ ਈਅਰਸ ਐਂਡ ਪਰਫੋਰਮ ਦੇਅਰ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ, some of them did so many other very hard practices, but up until now no one became successful in conquering the mind. When the mind became successful on them, when the mind played his trick on these rishis and munis, he made their condition worse than the worldly people. Kabir sahab says that he is a thief without a head and he cannot be conquered. He is an unconquerable entity. And there is no way this mind can be conquered.
ਇਹ ਸਰੀਰ ਕਿਲੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਦਾਖਲ ਹੋਣ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਮਨ ਨੇ ਪੰਜ ਪਹਿਰੇਦਾਰ ਬੜੇ ਜ਼ਬਰਦਸਤ ਬਿਠਾਏ ਹੋਏ ਹੈ। ਕਾਮ ਨੀਚੇ ਗੇਰ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕ੍ਰੋਧ ਸਾਡੇ ਖਿਆਲ ਨੂੰ ਬਾਹਰ ਫੈਲਾ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਲੋਭ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸਾਰੇ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਪਦਾਰਥ ਇਕੱਠੇ ਕਰਨ ਲਾ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਮੋਹ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਬੰਨ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਹੰਕਾਰ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਤੋਂ ਹੋਰ ਵੀ ਦੂਰ ਲੈ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਦੀਵਾਰ ਬਣ ਕੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਖੜ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਬਿਫੋਰ ਵੀ ਐਂਟਰ ਦਿਸ ਫੋਰਟ ਆਫ ਦ ਹਿਊਮਨ ਬਾਡੀ, ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਫੇਸ ਦ ਫਾਈਵ ਗਾਰਡਸ ਵਿਚ ਦ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਹੈਜ਼ ਪੋਸਟਡ ਐਟ ਦ ਗੇਟ ਆਫ ਦਿਸ ਬਾਡੀ, ਲਸਟ, ਐਂਗਰ, ਗਰੀਡ, ਅਟੈਚਮੈਂਟ ਐਂਡ ਈਗੋਇਜ਼ਮ। ਲਸਟ ਇਜ਼ ਸੱਚ ਅ ਗਾਰਡ posted by the negative power that he degrades us, he throws us down. In the same way the anger spreads our attention all over. The greed makes us collect the wealth of the world, and egoism is such a thing that it becomes like a wall and doesn't allow us to enter this world.
Kabir sahib, Tulsi sahab ne yahi khayal jar kita hai ਕਿ ਕਾਮ, ਕ੍ਰੋਧ, ਲੋਭ, ਮੋਹ, ਹੰਕਾਰ ਦੀ ਜਬਲਾ ਕਟਮੇ ਖਿਆ ਖਾਨ, ਕਿਆ ਪੰਡਿਤ ਕਿਆ ਮੂਰਖਾ, ਦੋਨੋਂ ਇੱਕ ਸਮਾਨ।
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਐਸ ਵੈਲ ਐਸ ਤੁਲਸੀ ਸਾਹਿਬ, ਦੇ ਬੋਥ ਹੈਵ ਸੈਡ ਦ ਸੇਮ ਥਿੰਗ। ਦੇ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਐਸ ਲੋਂਗ ਐਸ ਯੂ ਹੈਵ ਦੀ ਐਗਜ਼ਿਸਟੈਂਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਲਸਟ, ਐਂਗਰ, ਗਰੀਡ, ਅਟੈਚਮੈਂਟ ਐਂਡ ਈਗੋਇਜ਼ਮ ਵਿਦ ਇਨ ਯੂ, ਇਟ ਡਜ਼ਨਟ ਮੈਟਰ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਅ ਲਰਨਡ ਔਰ ਅਨਲਰਨਡ, ਬੋਥ ਦ ਫੁਲਿਸ਼ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਵਾਈਜ਼ ਆਰ ਅਲਾਈਕ ਐਸ ਲੋਂਗ ਐਸ ਦੇ ਹੈਵ all these vices within them.
Je sade andar kaam hai, sada pad padhai kis kam hai, je assi krodh de shikar hain, man nu shanti nahi aayi, to sada pad padha ke kise nu upadesh karan da ki fayda hai?
If we have lust within us, then what good our learning and the education which we have got is doing to us? If someone has not got the peace, and if he has anger in him, all the studies which he did, what good that study is doing to him?
Santa Mahatma da sansar de vich auna jehda hai oh sirf man nu vas karan di duhai den vaste auna hai, jinna roohan di khatir parmatma ne unnu bheja hunda hai ki inna nu tusi naam de ke samjha ke mere naal milao, oh ik bichole da kam karda hai.
The purpose of the coming of the saints and mahatmas into this world is only to give the medicine to the jivas through which the mind can be controlled. And they come in this world, they are sent by God Almighty in this world by saying that you go and those who want to come back to me, give them the medicine and save them from all this decoys, from all these passions, and you bring them back to me. saints and mahatmas work as a middleman between us and God Almighty.
Koi vi inna sunsan de vich ya kandali tari taran de vichon kise nu rasta nahi das sakda ga jida aap da parda nahi khulya oh dusre da parda kholan ch kade madad nahi kar sakda ga jehda aap anpad hai oh dusre nu padha nahi sakda ga jida aap firda ਇਹਨਾਂ ਪੰਜਾਂ ਡਾਕੂਆਂ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਸੜ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ, ਲੁੱਟਿਆ ਜਾ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਦੂਸਰੇ ਦੀ ਅੱਗ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਬੁਝਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ?
If someone is stuck up in the thorny bushes, a blind person cannot go and help him to find his way out. In the same way, he whose inner vision is not opened, how can he open the inner vision of the others? He who himself is being burned up by the fire of the anger and the other passions, how can he bring peace and solace to the other people?
ਤੋ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਬੜੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਮਨ ਨੂੰ ਅਜੇ ਤਾਈਂ ਵੱਸ ਨਹੀਂ ਕੀਤਾ ਗਾ, ਮਨ ਦੀ ਨੇਚਰ ਦੇ ਮੁਤਾਲਕ ਸੋਚਣਾ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮਨ ਕਿਸ ਚੀਜ਼ ਦਾ ਆਸ਼ਿਕ ਹੈ। ਮਨ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਸੰਗਤ ਦਾ ਬੜਾ ਜ਼ਬਰਦਸਤ ਪ੍ਰਭਾਵ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜੈਸੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਸੰਗਤ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਵੈਸੀ ਰੰਗਤ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ।
How can he who himself is illiterate teach others? Kabir sahab says that it is not that up until now no one has been able to conquer the mind. First of all, we need to find the nature of the mind and what the mind likes. Mind is always fond of the pleasure and the good taste.
ਇਹ ਸਵਾਦ ਦਾ ਆਸ਼ਿਕ ਹੈ, ਦੁਨੀਆ ਦੇ ਸਵਾਦਾਂ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਦਿਨ ਰਾਤ ਤੜਫਦਾ ਫਿਰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਇਹਨੂੰ ਕੋਈ ਵੀ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਦੀ ਲੱਜਤ ਇੱਕ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਖੜ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦੀ। ਇੱਕ ਨੂੰ ਛੱਡਦਾ ਦੂਜੀ ਮਗਰ ਦੌੜਦਾ, ਦੂਜੀ ਨੂੰ ਛੱਡਦਾ ਤੀਜੀ ਮਗਰ ਦੌੜਦਾ ਹੈ।
He is fond of taste and always he is running after the pleasures and he is running after the taste. There is no taste or no pleasure of this world which can keep this mind still. If he gets one, he wants to have another, and when he has another, he leaves that and he goes for another, and in this way he goes on chasing the pleasures and the taste.
Sant Mahatma sanu aake dasde hai ਕਿ ਨਾ ਤਾਂ ਘਰ ਬਾਰ ਦਾ ਤਿਆਗ ਕਰਨ ਦੀ ਲੋੜ ਹੈ, ਨਾ ਬਾਲ ਬੱਚੇ ਛੱਡਣ ਦੀ ਲੋੜ ਹੈ, ਨਾ ਕੋਈ ਜਿਸਮ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਪ੍ਰਭੂਤ ਵਗੈਰਾ ਲਾਉਣ ਦੀ ਲੋੜ ਹੈ, ਨਾ ਕਿਸੇ ਬਾਹਰੀ ਰੀਤੀ ਰਿਵਾਜ ਕਰਮ ਕਾਂਡ ਦੀ ਕੋਈ ਜ਼ਰੂਰਤ ਹੈ। ਸਿਰਫ ਪੂਰੇ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਚਰਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਦਿੱਤੇ ਹੋਏ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਨੂੰ ਕਰਨ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਜਦੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਆ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਉਹ ਨੂਰੀ ਸਰੂਪ ਜਦ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਦੀ ਸਦਾ ਅਗਵਾਈ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਨਾਮਦਾਨ ਦੇ ਵਕਤ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਮ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੋਏ ਆਪਣਾ ਨੂਰੀ ਸਰੂਪ ਉਹ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਸੇਵਕ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਰੱਖ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਹੀ ਉਸ ਦੀ ਅਗਵਾਈ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਜਦ ਤੱਕ ਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਉਹਦਾ ਸਾਥ ਨਹੀਂ ਛੱਡਦਾ ਗਾ। ਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਉਹੀ ਅਖਵਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਨੂਰੀ ਸਰੂਪ ਨੂੰ ਅੰਦਰ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਸੇਂਟਸ ਐਂਡ ਮਹਾਤਮਾਸ ਲਵਿੰਗਲੀ ਟੈਲ ਅਸ ਦੈਟ in order to conquer the mind, neither we have to give up our homes and go out in the wilderness, nor we have to give up our families and children and go and live in solitude. We don't even have to put the ashes on our body. We don't need to change our outer appearance, or we don't even need to wear clothes of a certain color. We just need to go to the perfect Mahatma, and after going to the perfect Mahatma and getting the Simran from him, we need to do the Simran and come to the eye center and reach the radiant form of the Master. Such radiant form of the Master, when it gets manifested within us, he guides us and he doesn't leave the disciple until he takes the disciple back to the real home. As long as the disciple lives in the world, he always gets the guidance from the Master. At the time of the initiation, the perfect Masters sit within the disciples in their radiant form, and that radiant form of the Master always guides the disciple.
Pura sant chandan di tarah hai jive chandan de paas hor vi birshan de vichon mehak aun lag jandi hai, mitti tak vi mehak uthdi hai, isse tarah sansari birsh di tarah jehde ਸੇਵਕ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਸ਼ਰਨ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਵੀ ਉਹ ਸੁਗੰਧੀ ਭਰ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਵੀ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰਨ ਲੱਗ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ।
A perfect master is like a sandalwood tree. As the trees who grow around the sandalwood tree also start becoming fragrant, even the sand or even the dirt which is near the sandalwood tree starts giving out the fragrance. In the same way, we the worldly people are like those trees who grow around the sandalwood tree and later on become fragrant themselves. So we also, we the worldly people are also like that. When we go in the company of the perfect masters, we also start giving out the fragrance like the master.
Pura Sant Sadguru Vishya to Nyara Hunda hai, O Khud Shabd Naam da Amrit Pinda hai, Aap de Sevkanu Shabd Amrit da Naam Pind Vaaste, O Madad Karda hai, Jugdi Dasda hai.
The perfect master is unaffected by the pleasures and the passions of this world. He always drinks the drink of the perfect nectar, and he encourages and he instructs his disciples to do the same.
Jo sevak ona de kehn de mutabik shabd naam di kamai karde hai andar ja ke shabd naam da amrit man nu peen nu dende hai jo man hirn di tarah bahar patakda firda hai oh thir ho janda hai oh nirmal ho janda hai.
Those disciples who meditate according to the instructions of the master go within and drink that nectar, and those who give their mind to those who give that nectar to their mind to drink, the mind who was wandering here and there, running here and there like a wild deer, it becomes still, it stops at one place and it becomes peaceful.
The final bhajan is on page 123. Jutta Sansara hai. The world is false, life is destitute. Come, Kripalji, we wait for you, we wait for you. Oh, my giver, we are the sinners. Do not look through our papers. The boat is adrift, take it across. Come, beloved, listen to the request. Listen to the request. True is your love. We have only your support. We are the dirty ones. Clean us, clean us. The soul has to do your darshan, but she is embarrassed. O giver, you forgive. You are the forgiver. You are the forgiver. This is the call of a jade. The heartstring is resounding. The world is false, life is destitute. Come, Kripalji, we wait for you, we wait for you. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 123.
Jutta sansar hai, jindagi lachar hai, ayo ki Kripalji. Teri intezar hai, teri intezar hai. Jutta sansar hai, jindagi achar hai, aao ki paar ji, teri intezar. Saji gunagar asisa de kagazana polve kagazana polve mere datta ji gunagar asisa de kagazana. Dardahe kara de yo parahe
aokiye paraji teri intazarahe teri intazarahe
Jutta sansare jindagi lachar hai, Suna lo benati, suna lo benati.
Is destitute. Come, Kripalji, we wait for you, we wait for you. May God bless us all.